You are listening to the Cycling Podcast at the Giro d'Italia in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport. Today we are in Prato Nevoso.
Well, Rich, colpo di scena, as they say in Italy. What does that mean?
I don't know, Daniel, but it's like a casino to me.
Yeah, it's very dramatic. Oh no, someone's gone the wrong way. Froome's gone the wrong way. What's he doing? Well, I'm not sure I'll ever get a job as a commentator. In fact, this could be the end of my brief TV career. Lopez has just come over the line, but we thought this would be a good climb for Dumoulin, didn't we? But it was really Chris Froome that lit the blue touch paper or Team Sky with them wild poles, and Dumoulin has just hung on the back, but very good move. And
good day for Dumoulin. Yates has cracked a little bit. There's no other way. I mean, this sets up the last 2 days.
Is this going to be 3, 4, 5?
But he, more than that, Daniel, he looks in difficulty, and he's been dropped by the Carapaz group, and he's coming in with looks like Mikel Nieve here. A difficult day, and it's what we've always said.
The Dutch journalists are already more linked.
But this Giro is not over, is it?
No, and as we said last night, Rich, these stages with just one big climb at the end, often they look quite innocuous compared to the big multiple mountain days, but they cause a lot of damage. Should we go and try and speak to some riders?
Let's go.
Yeah, I was waiting until the moment, and 2 kilometers to go, I tried to see what was possible, and he responded to my first attack, and then Froome attacked, and I tried to follow Pozzo Viva and Froome, and then I suddenly found out that he was dropped, so it's nice.
And now 28 seconds, so the half of this morning, so it's a good sign also for the next days?
Of course it's a good day, but I know that the coming 2 days are going to be different and even much harder than today. So we just have to see.
Well, we opened there tonight, Daniel, with some
unclassic commentary.
Some shouting from the finish. And we also heard from Tom Dumoulin. We watched as the race really opened up before our eyes. Chris Froome attacked, countered really a move from Wout Poels. His teammate bridged up to him and took with him Domenico Pozzovivo and Tom Dumoulin. And behind them, Simon Yates showed the first signs of weakness. He cracked a little bit in the last 2 kilometres, lost some time. And basically, Dumoulin has halved his overall lead. He's 28 seconds ahead now.
Is it possible that Simon Yates thought the stage was finishing where the Tour de France stage finished in 2008, about 2 kilometres further down the mountain?
He was 15 at the time, so I'm not sure that was really playing his mind, but that would have helped him, wouldn't it? Enormously.
Well, it would, because he was fine until that point.
I mean, I think I've been raising the possibility that his Giro was very heavily focused on the first 2 weeks, and he was asked in the press conference actually whether all those efforts that he's made in the first 2 weeks were beginning to tell, and he answered that question very well. I thought he said he didn't have any choice. That was the way that he had to ride. It's the only way he could win this Giro was by building up some time, some bonuses in those first 2 weeks and holding on to it. And that might be what he has to do over the last 2 days or in the mountains. Should we hear the tale of Tapa?
Yes, Daniel? Let's hear the tale of the Tapa.
Okay, here goes.
Richard.
Okay, so, well, first day with a breakaway that successfully stayed away. It was a big move. The last two men across to it were actually Max Schachmann and Michael Morkov from Quickstep. Significant. They got built up a big lead. It went over 10 minutes and out to 15 and a half minutes at one point. There were the usual smaller Italian teams in there, but Bardiani lost out completely, unfortunately for them. A couple of members of Androni in that break as well, of course. The break was still a good 10 minutes ahead as they began the climb up to Prato Nevoso. And it started to break up front. Max Schachmann went clear with Mattia Cattaneo from Androni, and they were joined by Ruben Plaza. Plaza was yo-yoing off the back a little bit, but made a sort of last-minute bid to win the stage. He's 38 years old, Plaza, very experienced, rides for Israel Cycling Academy. They've had a good couple of days, actually. He got back up to those two, but didn't have anything left when it came to the finish, and Schachmann, yet another win for Quickstep. Young German has had a very good Giro, and he took a stage win. Behind them, Pello Bilbao attacked the Astana rider, who had been accused earlier today of riding Ala Zubeldia. He was 8th overall at the start of the day. I'd have to check where he is now, but he was certainly visible there. He attacked and really got things started. Miguel Angel Lopez, his teammate, went as well. He had a go. George Bennett had a go. It's often a feature of stages that George Bennett has an attack and sort of sets things up for other people, but good on him for having a go. He often does get stuck in, and he's actually our peddler de charme for the third week, so I'll go and find him tomorrow and present him with a t-shirt. But the real talking points were just behind them. As I said earlier, Dumoulin put in a big attack. Yates followed him, didn't look in any difficulty at all, but then when Froome went, Dumoulin and Pozzovivo were able to go with him, and Yates was not, and lost 28 seconds in those final couple of kilometres. So a difficult day for him, and he put a brave face on things in the press conference, as you'd expect, but realistic about the fact that he will have a bad day, and he hopes that that was it, and that the two stages tomorrow and Saturday, which do look like they suit him better with multiple climbs rather than this one big power climb. And it's not very steep, is it, Daniel? And it's a very, very good road surface. It was, as you've been saying all week, it was kind of made for a rider, a power rider like Dumoulin, and Froome for that matter.
Well, yeah, it was interesting that I think Dumoulin's initial attack was the one that Yates was able to follow, but it was also the one that did the damage, because then Froome hit Yates and hit the rest of the leaders with a counter punch, and Dumoulin was able to recover in the 30 seconds or so between his attack kind of petering out and Froome attacking, but Yates was not able to recover. And yeah, we did think that this climb would suit Tom Dumoulin. Unfortunately for him, there were not time bonuses available. That would have been the ideal scenario for Sunweb and Dumoulin. He was riding for an extra 10 seconds. That wasn't to be. But more importantly, it's exposed a bit of a chink in the armour. The first chink. The first time we've seen anything remotely like a chink in Yates's armour. And I think he'll be pretty worried. I mean, I said when we did our little dispatch just after the finish that it's quite rare in Grand Tours that you get the starts of trends that don't then develop into bigger trends. And particularly with the way, form works and the way recovery works. And was it simply a climb that suited Dumoulin more than Yates? Well, I would suggest that no, this might well have been the first glimpse of some kind of weakness or
momentum.
Momentum
is very important, especially with the 2 days that we've got coming up. And I mean, I get the impression that much as he really wants to win this race, Yates is also, he's also realistic about the fact that he might not. I mean, it seems to me that he is, he was paying tribute to Dumoulin's class and obviously his experience, but he's entering uncharted territory. That's the thing. I mean, Froome and Dumoulin, they know what to do here. And as we did see today, perhaps the pendulum swinging a little bit towards those two.
Yeah, and he's in a dangerous position now, Yates. Not in the sense that, he can afford to not to win this race. His career plan, his development plan did not include victory in the Giro d'Italia this year. Third, fourth, even, the experience of having defended the pink jersey would represent a massive step forward for him. But there is blood in the water now, and particularly with a stage like tomorrow's over the Colle delle Finestre, probably the hardest climb in the race. There's a big valley. There's a long, long descent.
It's about 70 kilometres from the finish, is it?
Yeah.
Is it too far out, really, for anything?
I think anyone with, any of the pretenders to Yates's current crown are handicapped by the fact that no team has managed to keep two riders in the general classification. And through a variety of different circumstances, but if you imagine a situation where Wout Poels was now still in contention, or we're going to hear later from David de la Cruz, who has slotted into this role as a domestique deluxe, but you almost feel that he's been, the sting has been drawn a bit from David de la Cruz. He's a guy who loves to attack, he's a guy who loves to mix things up, and we haven't seen him do that. But if he'd been up there sort of 8th, 9th, 10th place in general classification, 6 or 7 minutes down, then you would feel Yates was even more vulnerable. But as I say, all of the leaders are going to have to move, sort of, they're going to have to make their big moves in the first person. They're not really going to be able to rely on sort of counter punching.
not from the point of view of a second rider being a danger on GC, but Wout
but
Poels,
that's always helpful,
yeah,
isn't
of
it?
Course.
It's always very helpful, just as a decoy to draw Mitchelton out. But there's no one really that any of those riders, Dumoulin can put down the road or Froome can put down the road, to then cause enough panic alarm in Mitchelton so that they will then burn through domestiques and leave Yates exposed.
I mean, Sam Omen is 13th overall, admittedly, you know, 9 minutes down.
I suppose he's the best.
It's the best option.
He's the closest thing to that, isn't he?
And Wout Poels is 15th, in a similar ballpark. Wout Poels looked very strong. We should say that clip at the beginning, it was a case of mistaken identity, wasn't it, Daniel? Because you thought Chris Froome had gone off course. In fact, it was Wout Poels who got who. There was a marshal missing actually at the corner, and he went straight on. Easy mistake to make. They do look quite similar on a bike. Shall we hear from Jack Haig, Sam Yates's teammate and roommate, Daniel?
We will. But don't ask. You don't need to ask for my permission, Richard. Will hear from Jack Haig.
Since Daniel,
it's a Scottish
started,
thing, isn't it? It's a Scottish thing. You do that a lot.
Since Daniel,
will we leave now? Will we?
It's a masterclass. Every day is an education.
Daniel,
not only
in
wine and food, but also just in broadcasting. Daniel, here's Jack.
Will
Haig.
We get in the car now?
I think everyone's quite tired at this point, and he obviously had to go really deep in the time trial. So it's the first bad day that he's had so far, and if it's the only bad day to lose 20 seconds, it's a good outcome. The breakaway went away, we sat in the peloton, we did what we did, and it was just on the last climb here. I think it's hard when you go easy all day like that to then have the one really big effort at the end. We're excited. We have pink jersey. All we have to do is defend, and there's just 2 days left, so why not be excited? I think everyone's a little bit more nervous. When it comes down to the very end, you sort of realise what you have, and when you realise you can win one of the biggest races in the world, it's always a little bit nerve-wracking, but exciting. He's still pretty relaxed. He's a relatively easygoing guy, and has stayed this way. No, same old bloke. I room with him, and every night we just talk the same shit and say the same stuff, and pretty relaxed.
A community around the world. Stories and films with the most compelling characters. The world's finest apparel. Explore the world of cycling with Rafa.
Thank you very much to Rafa for being our principal sponsor. I mentioned George Bennett is our week 3 Pedaleur de Charme, and I will present him with his ironed t-shirt tomorrow. Now, we're also looking for an overall Pedaleur de Charme to receive one of the coveted Rafa t-shirts, and I took the unprecedented step of producing two polls, two four-man polls, because there were so many nominations. You'll find them on Twitter, but Alex Dowsett's there, Sven Tuft is there. I don't call him Swain like you do, Daniel. Sven.
Swain. Swaino. Swaino, mate.
Sven. They're kind of looking good for it. Ryan Mullen is in the other poll. I can't remember who else is in it, but several other cyclists are in it who've been riding the Giro d'Italia. And we'll have a winner to present with a t-shirt on Saturday. So, Chris Froome, Daniel, is he back in it? I mean, he, as we watch today's stage, in the latter stages, a few wondering whether Chris Froome could lose it for his fellow Brit, Simon Yates, because, you know, whether he wins the race, whether he's capable of winning it or not, he could have a real impact over the next couple of days, and he could inadvertently help Tom Dumoulin, perhaps.
I think the big danger, as far as Simon Yates is concerned, is the fact that, as we've mentioned before and in the last week, Chris Froome is in a completely different position and mindset to his challenges at the Tour de France last year. We kept talking at the Tour de France last year about how it was a huge accomplishment, a huge deal, a huge prospect for the likes of Romain Bardet to finish on the podium and so forth. Chris Froome's got nothing to lose. Chris Froome was not interested in coming to this Giro to finish on the podium. He was not really interested. Oh, he's got his stage win already, but only victory counts, I would suggest, for Chris Froome now. And what does that mean? It means that he's going to be bold, I think, and it means that Sky are going to be bold. And I think Chris Froome also, contrary to what people think, he loves being bold and he loves attacking from a long way out and really coming out with the heavy artillery. And I think tomorrow could see him do that.
also a very unusual position for his team to be in, not to be defending a lead, but to be attacking. We spoke to two of his teammates at the finish. We'll hear now from Kenny Ellison.
Love how decisive you were.
Assertive. And then David De La Cruz.
Yeah, obviously Chris is full of confidence. He's a warrior, you know. And out of the bike, he's really quiet. He's really, don't say much. But when he's jump on his bike, he's a warrior. So he never gave up. So I'm full of confidence he will not give up.
Do you think people have underestimated these last three stages in the mountains a little bit?
I don't know, you know, like today, for example, it's Plata Nevoso, everybody's like, oh, it's not so hard compared to tomorrow and after tomorrow. And this is the only day yet show it, you know, kind of weakness. So, yeah, I think there's still space for surprise.
Yeah, of course, Froome is showing that he's good on the last part of the Giro. He's improving his shape from, if we compare with the beginning. We saw it already on Zoncolan, the other day on the TT, and also today. So now we have two really hard days. Probably the hardest day of the Giro still to come, with the really long climbs up and down. Probably the king of parkour that we didn't see it until now. We saw long climbs, but not like just like days that are coming. And let's hope that Froome is still improving as he saw it today, and he can go a little bit up on the GC. And yeah, we have to fight until Rome, and then once we are there, we have to see how us. When you have also one guy that can fight for something special, you get even more motivation. And yeah, I think everybody is ready for what's coming for the next 2 days. Yeah, I think tomorrow in Col de Finestre is really hard climb. It's a climb of 10 kilometers, 9% with the Sterrato. So I think it's gonna be tomorrow an important day.
So Kenny Ellison and David De La Cruz there. Ellison certainly talking a very good game. Chris Froome is a warrior, he said. And, you know, they are, well, Wout Poels in particular is looking good.
David De La Cruz, literally David of the cross. Will they be putting Simon Yates up on a cross and crucifying him tomorrow?
Wow. I don't know, Daniel.
But how will they approach that Finestre climb? Because it's so far, the summit is so far from the finish.
Too far, isn't it?
And as I said, the descent is very, very long. In fact, while you discuss that, I'm going to look at
While you discuss that
with yourself, a one-man dialogue.
You know, what might happen is that, you know, a team, Sunweb or Sky or both, may put some pressure on just to see how Simon Yates is, just to test him, just to see whether, you know, today was a blip or a trend, a pattern. And, you know, if they sense weakness, they might really try and make life difficult for him. His team as well is important. I mean, Mikel Nievi was there at the finish today, but they've had a difficult 2 weeks. What do they have left in the tank? We've been joined by
Ciao listeners, Ciro Scognamiglio, of course, for you. And Richard, I don't want to give maybe a real exclusive, but I can anticipate to our listeners that I'm preparing something special for them. For them.
I see you looking at your phone, Ciro.
Because my phone is also... But I'm preparing something special for you. It will be something linked to my voice. I can't tell other things for the moment, but stay tuned.
Ciro.
Is this your chapter? Let's get back to the Hang on. Is this your chapter of our book, A Journey Through the Cycling Year? Which we're releasing the audiobook of that very soon. And Ciro, we've still got to pin you down for long enough to record your chapter, your love letter to Filippo Pozzato.
Yes, exactly. And I think certainly will be the best chapter. I mean, for my voice, for my accent, for my fluency in English, dear Richard.
Now, Ciro, every day at the press, after the press conference, every day, you grab Simon Yates, not literally, but you kind of shuffle alongside him and walk out with him and deep in conversation all the way to the bus. I actually saw him acknowledging you, giving you a thumbs up. What's going on here? Is this a special relationship?
What's going on between you two? Yates?
Well, we can say that our listeners can be safe. That, I mean, Pippo Pozzato remains my soul sister. Vincenzo Nibali remains my shadow. I mean, it's true that in this Giro, I'm writing a lot of articles about Simon, and so I'm trying to discover something more about him. For example, today I didn't discover, for example, special thing, only that I asked him, Simon, have you learned in these days some words in Italian? He answered me only grazie mille, better than nothing. I mean,
but what else are you speaking to? Oh, sorry,
can
Daniel.
Can we talk about the race? Yes. Ciro, tomorrow, the climb of the Colle delle Finestre. I'd completely forgotten about the climb to Sestriere afterwards. How can other teams and other riders put pressure on Yates on the Colle delle Finestre because it's so far from the finish?
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe the team strong, in my opinion, in this moment is Sky. I'm seeing a great Wout Poels in these last days, and I think that the Sky could try the tactic to isolate the pink jersey already on the Colle delle Finestre, maybe trying to isolate Simon Yates on the Colle delle Finestre, but maybe the real action of Team Sky could be done maybe in Sestriere. And this will be a key stage because, in my opinion, I have the impression that, apart the official words, I have the impression that Chris Froome still thinks that he can win this Giro.
And Rich, I talked about the valley, the big valley road really is between the descent off Sestriere is a long one, and then there's a valley to the bottom of the Bardonecchia Giaffarau climb. This is something that Dave Brailsford has mentioned in the past. He's been slightly perplexed by the fact that other teams, particularly Movistar, have not tried to attack Chris Froome on valley roads before, because if a rider is isolated there and another team has multiple riders, that's where it can be most dangerous. That suggests to me that if there's an opportunity tomorrow to isolate Simon Yates and to attack Simon Yates in that valley before the climb of the Giaffarau, Sky might look to do it, because it's a short climb up the Giaffarau. It's only 9 kilometres. So, it's not a climb where you'll necessarily need a lot of help. And Chris Froome might look to make inroads before that.
I have nothing to say, because this is the best thing that I heard so far today. Perfect
analysis.
You
have to write that in Gazzetta.
Yeah, why not? Because, listeners, when I can copy something good, it's always the best
Ciro,
tactic.
Ciro, before you go. Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow, it's a very sad, it's a somber day for you tomorrow, because we're going to Sestriere, which is a mountain of great historical importance. That was where the Giro discovered mountains. In its second ever edition, it went to Sestriere, the first time a Grand Tour ever went over 2,000 metres.
The right word in English could be nightmare. Incubo in Italian, cauchemar en français, pesadilla Spanish. Listeners, that's all from me today.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Independent research shows 10% of sports nutrition products would get a professional rider banned. Trust Science in Sport, the world's highest standard of banned substance testing.
Okay, a question here for Science and Sport from James O'Connor. Hi all. First of all, love the podcast. Thank you, James. In your recent podcast, you mentioned you'd like some questions for Science and Sport about nutrition. So here goes. I'm doing John O'Groats to Land's End over the summer with a group of friends from my school days to raise money for the neonatal unit that looked after my friend's very premature baby. The group ranges from beginners to fairly experienced riders, all aged the right young age of 33. We're doing it over 8 days, so there will be some long ones and plenty of hours in the saddle. We'd love some advice from Science and Sport on all aspects of nutrition around the ride, what to have before we get going, what to take when on the bike and during the ride, and then how to recover so we can get back on the bike the next day. We'd love to hear any input at all.
Hi, that's going to be quite a difficult challenge, but I'll try and give you some advice that will help you out with that. The first thing is, I suppose, have a decent breakfast. So have a large bowl of, for example, porridge oats, and maybe even some additional protein in there, like some scrambled eggs. Hydration is going to be important because you're doing this in the summer. So in the period between breakfast or even at breakfast, it'd be useful to have some Science and Sport Go Hydro tablets, for example, just to make sure that you start the event hydrated, because the danger is if you start slightly dehydrated and then it's a hot day, then you just end up more and more dehydrated and you'll feel terrible and your performance will be pretty bad. Then during the ride, obviously, fueling is important. So gels, bars, and Whey 20 is actually quite useful in that respect as well. This is a Science in Sports protein gel, and that will help fuel the ride and also help to reduce muscle damage, which on a day-to-day basis, by the time we get to day 6 or 7 or 8, then I think that could be a significant issue for you. In terms of recovery, I think you'll probably be on the road, so the convenience again of a Whey 20 gel might be really good. So immediately after the ride, Rego Rapid Recovery or Rego Rapid Recovery Plus would be really good things to take down, and then try and follow that up with some high carbohydrate foods in the next hour or 2 hours. And then in the evening, again, something to help you with muscle recovery and support your immune system would be Science in Sport Overnight Protein, which is a slow digesting protein that helps with muscle repair. If you follow that kind of protocol, you're pretty similar to Grand Tour riders, and it should leave you in a pretty good state at the end of your 8-day duel.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport for sponsoring us. We heard our latest listener question there. You can still send us questions for Science in Sports nutrition experts. That was Rob Child answering one. Email us at contact@thecyclingpodcast.com and we'll convene their experts again soon to put some more questions here. We've got quite a lot more, actually. And they can be about the pros nutrition as well as your own. You can get 25% off all your Science and Sport products, of course, at scienceandsport.com with the discount code SISCP25. Now, Daniel,
yes.
A couple of things. Max Schachmann, what an interesting young fella he is. I went into his press conference.
Berliner.
A bright guy, asked what his hobbies are. He said fishing and reading economics magazines. Do you know he's been with his girlfriend as well for 9.5 years, Josephine?
It's true.
And he dedicated his victory to her. He had a very bad crash a year ago, broke his heel in 12 places, he said. But he's come back very strongly, and he's really one of the revelations of this season and of this Giro.
Well, earlier in the Giro, Rich, I spoke to one of the man who scouted him, Martin Fernandez, who we talked about earlier in the Giro, had this fantastic success with finding young talents for Quickstep, and he spotted Schachmann at the Giro della Val d'Aosta a few years ago. I think it was the 2015 edition. He'd already been at the Giant development team at that point, but for some reason hadn't been funneled towards the pro team or was no longer part of that system. And yeah, Quickstep picked him up, and I mean, Matching was saying to me the other day that certainly on sort of medium length climbs and quite punchy climbs, he is very much on course to become one of the best riders in the peloton. Whether he develops further than that and broadens his repertoire to become maybe a Grand Tour GC rider, we don't know. But
he's very much in the mold of Bob Jungels, the Quickstep rider who is developing into a GC rider. Similar build, similar talents. He's a silver medalist in the Under-23 World Championship time trial a couple of years ago. So, yeah, a great talent, but he's really flourished this year.
We're talking of riders with very good pedigree as amateurs. It was good to see Mattia Cattaneo up there today, because for years he was touted as one of the brightest young things in Italian cycling, was a big rival of Fabio Aru when he was an amateur, finished third in consecutive editions of the Tour de l'Avenir, and won the baby Giro, but has really lost his way in the pro ranks. So he rode for Lampre for a few years and didn't produce too many results of any note, but today was a very much a return to form for him. Now running for Gianni Savio's Androni Giocattoli team.
Speaking of Gianni Savio, he features in our final Kilometer Zero, doesn't he? And you've been putting that together.
Principe, the Prince.
Really looking forward to
hearing that. We're in his region. We're in Piedmont.
Which is also the region of the Nebbiolo wine, Daniel,
well,
which
the
I had
grape varietal. Well, yeah, nice, it's most of that over it's, lunch. It's most closely associated with this region.
Do you know how I know that wine?
Why?
Because Primo Nebbiolo was the old head of the International Athletics Federation.
Very good.
Not that he was had any connection with the wine, but that's the kind of thing I need to allow me to remember things like that.
Maybe we'll the
other
get you
he's the other shark of Messina, actually. He was from Sicily, and there's a stadium down in Messina named after Primo Nebbiolo.
Right, maybe we'll get some buffalo's tasting notes on some Nebbiolo time. Maybe a nice Barolo.
Do you want my tasting notes on the wine I had at lunchtime? The Nebbiolo wine
go
I
on,
had.
Go on.
It was all right.
Oh my!
It was robust.
Take me home.
Robust. Is that full-bodied?
Yeah, full-bodied, yeah.
Very full-bodied.
Okay, like you,
say.
Very full-bodied.
Anyway, we're going to hear from Michael Morkov, actually, Shacklin's teammate. Now, he was also in the break. He's had an interest, Giro, because he's a key man for the sprints as well with Elia Viviani. Second stage win for Quickstep in a row, this. Here is Michael Morkov at the finish. He was in the breakaway today with Max Shacklin.
Yeah, finally. It looked already good when Maximilian and I jumped across. Immediately we got the gap. Even though I was expecting some of the climber teams to chase us. But luckily for us, I think everybody wants to save their legs for tomorrow.
And how good is Max Shacklin? He's a new rider for a lot of us this year. How impressed have you been with him at this Giro?
I've been really impressed. Already on the first stages, he was super strong. He had a few crashes, but did some amazing efforts and performances. And he's definitely a guy for the future.
And you've had a very varied role at this Giro, from helping out with the sprints to a day like today.
Yeah, it's not so bad both to be helping for a bunch sprint and for winning climbing stages.
Did you hear as you were coming up the climb there, did you hear what was happening up ahead of you?
Yeah, I could always hear them. There was never more than 1 minute ahead of me, and it sounded quite exciting, but I had big confidence in Maximilian.
Now, Daniel, you spoke to Patrick Conrad, well, didn't you, before and after?
Yeah, this is something we promised a few days ago. Patrick Conrad, the Bora Hansgrohe Austrian rider, who has really flown under the radar, dare we say, a little bit, a la Heimar Zubeldia, in this Giro d'Italia. I sensed that he might be quite nervous about this week. He's already surprised a few people by being this high in the general classification. But before we hear from him, Richard, what is unique about Patrick Conrad in the top 10 of this year's Giro?
What is unique
you'll
about Patrick
you'll
Conrad
never get it. About
in the top 10 of this year's Giro?
You'll never get it by looking at the results, I don't think. I would not have known this. He's the only one of the top 10 who did not spend any time at altitude preparing for this Giro.
So watch out for him collapsing over the next couple of days then. Okay.
So you've had very consistent results this year, but a few people are surprised to see you this high in the general classification. Are you surprised yourself?
No, my goal was to... So before we, during the Dan Classics, we decided that my shape is good, so I tried to go for the GC in this Giro. I had no special Grand Tour preparation, like altitude camps and all this stuff, because my focus was more for the 1 week stage races. And it worked until now, it worked good, but there are still three really hard stages ahead. And I feel not so bad until now, and we will see what will be the result, the final result in Rome.
And it's a big 3 days coming up, Patrick. I mean, how nervous are you this morning?
I know it's normally it's okay. I'm focused for the next 3 days. I know it's really hard. I know that's for everybody. It's hard. Everybody's tired. We're already in the third week, so the head is an important role. So I'm not nervous, but I'm concentrated. Yeah, I'm focused.
And how have these 2.5 weeks changed your ideas about what you might become in the future?
Oh yeah, my dream is to be maybe 1 year on the podium in a Grand Tour and be one of the best GC contenders in the world. That's my goal for the upcoming years. And yeah, until now I make every year the next step, and also this Giro now shows us some, yeah, it's a big step for the future also to finish here in the top 10, and that's what's my goal, yeah, but and just what I try to reach, yeah.
And just finally, Patrick, I mean, you seem to have improved year by year and made gradual steps, but has there been anything notable, anything big that's changed this year?
Not really. My last year, I put the focus really in a lot of virtual races. Like, I did two Grand Tours, and to get more experience, to get just for the future. Huh? We decided to do a second Grand Tour, and yeah, I feel it now. Now I feel much better. For sure, last year was really hard, and also at the end of the season. I was really tired, but for this year it worked really good, and yeah, but also the season is still long, so we don't know what's in the next weeks, huh?
I see you're taking on some jelly beans there, or some jelly bears. Is that the food of champions after a stage like that?
yeah, maybe.
They look like a pretty positive,
you know, the advertisement. That Haribo makes children happy, and the older one also, so it makes me also happy.
It looked like a pretty positive day for you.
Yeah, I was a little bit scared because the TT was not so how I expected, but yesterday was also a really hard day, but that was possible for me to recover, and I feel pretty good today, and I give my best to lose as less time as possible to the guys who are in front of me in the GC, and if it's possible also to gain some times against some other contenders, and I think I did it, and yeah, today was a pretty good day. The team worked really good for me. I was completely fresh from the start of the climb, and yeah, now recovery total for tomorrow. I think tomorrow is the hardest day, and yeah, we will see how it ends.
You probably noticed that Simon Yates lost some ground. Was today such a particular and such a different stage with that very sort of intense effort at the end, very different from what's coming, that we shouldn't read too much into what we saw today as far as Yates is concerned?
Yeah, I think Simon had to go really deep the last days. He won already three stages, and also the time trial. He goes for sure full gas, so it's normal that you miss one day on a stage like this, what was completely flat, and then the last K's are uphill, that you miss some watts, but tomorrow it can be completely different. But yeah, for me, I don't look really to Simon because he's already 7 minutes in front of me. I have to look for the guys who are around me to make the top 10 result possible.
I'll leave you to your Haribo. Well done.
Interesting to hear Conrad there, Rich, still, I suppose, keeping his cards close to his chest, spraying or sort of flinging Haribo all over his face. He was at the finish, trying to stuff it into his mouth. It's interesting.
What were his tasting notes on the Haribo?
On the Haribo. We said that, what did he say? He repeated some Haribo advertising slogan, which I wasn't familiar
Robust.
With, because I don't really like, I don't eat sweets. I'm not a fan of Haribo. But anyway, people like them, don't they? My aversion to Haribo dates back to the classic Haribo. Remember that race? I think I went to the last edition, or one of the last editions, in 2002, and the only food available that day was buckets of Haribo. And I overdosed, and I don't think I've ever touched
one. I did that once with coconut. That's another story.
On post-race nutrition...
How old is Patrick Conrad?
He's in his mid to late 20s. I should have looked this up. 26, 27?
Okay.
On post-race nutrition, Patrick Conrad was filling up with gummy bears, or whatever you call them. I've noticed Tom Dumoulin eating a lot of fruit post-stage. Why would this be? Kiwi fruit and banana in particular, which would not be necessarily the post-stage meal that I would expect. Grand Tour.
I mean, last year when he was coming to the press room every day for the press conference at the Giro, he always had a Tupperware box with what looked like rice, quinoa, you know, proper food, proper meals. But, of course, he did have problems, and I hesitate to to go
to
there.
Suggest.
But he did have problems with his bowels last year, didn't he, at one point in the Giro. So
if anyone's got any good theories about that, maybe we'll get the answer from Sunweb themselves. But yeah, kiwi fruit and banana straight after a stage, why?
Don't know. I spoke to one of his teammates this morning. We'll hear from him briefly now. Chad Haga, the American rider on Team Sunweb, who rode a very good time trial the other day. He's also been on Twitter posting nightly simplified stage reports. I mistakenly called them condensed, but simplified stage reports, which are often very pithy, obviously, but quite funny sometimes and shrewd.
Why did you speak to him? You spoke to him for a specific reason, didn't
you? Lionel has been working on a little episode to celebrate or mark the 30th anniversary of Andy Hampson's victory at the Giro in 1988. We're speaking to all the American riders about what they know about that and what they remember about that. The answer is not a lot. But I did speak to him about other stuff as well, briefly, and about being part of this team that's trying to win the Giro with Tom Dumoulin. Here is Chad Haga at the start this morning. What about the race here, Chad? You've got a big job through the next few days, haven't you?
Yeah, we're hoping that today is straightforward for once. We haven't really got too many of those stages so far. But for sure, the next 3 days will be tough.
You were in the team last year as well. Is there any change in Tom going from being the challenger to the defending champion? Is that a different pressure, do you think?
Yeah, on him it's a different pressure. It's also relieved our team of some pressure. We haven't had to control the race, so I think we're a bit fresher for it. But also it's a different position to be gunning for the top spot rather than on defense. Mm.
Finally, are you trying to put us out of business with your condensed stage report?
They're oversimplified, not condensed.
Sorry.
I think it's funny that it's got so much attention because it's really just sort of a snarky, dry, humorous bit devoid of any real information that people seem to get a kick out of. So it's a fun challenge after every day for me.
What do you think your simplified stage report will be for today?
I hope it goes something along the lines of, a most unexpected thing happens, and that's that the expected thing happened.
That was Chad Haga. Do you want tonight's simplified stage report from him? Well, I read it to you. Because I asked him for his prediction of what it would be, but I can tell you what it actually was. So tonight's oversimplified stage report. Some slower guys got a head start as the peloton commuted 180 kilometers to a hill climb competition where the slow guys held on to win and the top guy's armor took some damage.
His stage reports are a bit like your tasting notes, aren't they?
My tasting
concise
notes.
Concise and, dare we say,
not like my Tales of the Tapa. I tried to make it a bit shorter tonight. Mm. Anyway, that's all for tonight. Daniel, we've got a really... Well, we're looking forward to the next couple of days. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we need to roll down this hill first.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
A community around the world. Stories and films with the most compelling characters. The world's finest apparel. Explore the world of cycling with Rafa. Ci giura nella tenevo giardina della nacca con l'acqua rovina. Ci giura nella tenevo giardina.